Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
The heavenly song of the redeemed implies that the bride of Christ shall rule and reign with Jesus on the earth. Some think that this refers to a spiritual kingdom. However, the literal interpretation of other passages of Scripture plainly state that this earthly kingdom will last 1,000 years and that Jesus will take his bride to heaven before he later returns with her to establish his earthly kingdom. Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his discussion of Revelation chapter 5, verse 10.
The view that we hold is the premillennial view. The prefix pre means before. And stated briefly, our belief is that Jesus Christ is going to return in the clouds to take his bride, the church, to heaven to be with him. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17, Luke 21, 34 through 36. And he will do that before the 70th week of Daniel, which is also known as the time of great tribulation. And the 70th week of Daniel, this time of great tribulation, is going to be a time when the wrath of Almighty God is going to literally be poured out upon this planet. It will be in the form of a judgment. The trumpets, the bowls, the vials, all the Old Testament, New Testament prophecies, they will be as literal as all of the judgments in the Old Testament. Believe that after this time, known as the Great Tribulation, Jesus Christ is going to physically return to this earth with all of the redeemed, that he's going to set up a literal, physical, thousand-year kingdom, and that Satan is going to be bound for nearly the entire period of time. We believe that following the dark hour of the tribulation on this earth, the church is going to return with the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, you and I are going to share the glory of Christ as joint heirs with him. We're going to share in his sovereign rule. Remember when we were studying the letters to the seven churches? Jesus gave a promise to the church of Thyatira in chapter 2, verse 26. He that overcometh and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. To the church of Laodicea, the Lord Jesus Christ says in chapter 3, verse 21, to whom that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. At the end of the 1,000 years, we believe that Satan will be loosed from the bottomless pit, that there is going to be the final white throne judgment for all non-believers, and then you and I will enter into the eternal state, either with Christ in glory, or, if you are not saved, apart from Christ, in the lake of fire forever and ever, which is the second death. Now, in addition to the two promises given to the overcomers in Thyatira and Laodicea, I want us to look at a couple of more passages of Scripture that show why we believe what we believe about this thousand-year reign. If you're taking notes, and again, read them all in context, Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, now these are the apostles, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, important word, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In Luke chapter 22, verses 28 through 30, you are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the Lord Jesus Christ promised the apostles that they would co-reign with him in his kingdom. When Paul the Apostle wrote his second epistle to Timothy in chapter 2, verse 12, he said, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Now again, if this reigning with Jesus speaks only of a spiritual reign here on earth or reigning with Jesus in heaven, then I'm puzzled by the fact that the redeemed in heaven are talking about reigning on earth. And if you follow this through, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, the earth that they speak of reigning on with Jesus Christ is the one that is going to be destroyed after the thousand-year kingdom. Before Jesus says there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So I believe that there is going to be a literal physical earth in pre-fall conditions, a regenerated earth. And let me give you some passages of scripture, and there are so many. Let me give you a few to explain why we believe that. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, if you're taking notes, the Bible says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. It doesn't say the bear shall eat the cow. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth, the implication is the entire earth, shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so we read something regarding the animal kingdom that is far different than our present affairs on planet earth. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, and again, there are so many more, but these are just a few, perhaps to stir you up to do a little personal study on this topic. In Zechariah chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. In other words, the kingdom age will be distinguished by the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, King of kings and Lord of lords, will rule over the entire earth with a rod of iron. And that prayer of Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, will finally be answered. In the book of Micah, chapter 4, and again, if you're taking notes, you may want to put in parentheses next to chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, because they are nearly identical. But let me read to you Micah 4, verses 1 through 3. But in the last days it shall come to pass. Now keep in mind, the last days biblically began when Christ came on this earth, and they include the entire period of time up to the eternal state. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Sounds like a dream, doesn't it? But that will come to pass. This passage, along with Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, tell us that during the kingdom age, people from many nations will be coming to learn the ways of the Lord in a rebuilt temple on Mount Zion. And we read about that rebuilt temple in the last section of the book of Ezekiel, chapters 40 through 47. And if you study the details of that temple, it is not the same as the Herodian temple that was destroyed in 70 AD. And we realize that according to these prophecies, people will come from many nations. They will come to learn the ways of the Lord in the rebuilt temple on Mount Zion. The city of Jerusalem is going to be the capital, and it will be an age of peace, not war. Doesn't sound like the world that you and I are living in. By the way, did you know that the phrase, "they shall beat their swords into plowshares," appears on the United Nations building? They should read it every once in a while. Only in the minds of the naive is disarmament a reality in this present age of man. Why? Because I believe that we are living in the time of wars and rumors of wars. And man will never be able to bring this era of peace to pass. For a little period of time, the false Christ will seek to do it. But then that is just going to crumble. During the kingdom age, if there is such a thing as military budgets as they are now, those funds are going to be used towards agricultural needs. Implements of warfare, swords and spears are going to be changed into tools of agriculture, plowshares and pruning hooks. There's not going to be a need to train people for warfare because the nations will be at peace. You know why? Because the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is going to be ruling and reigning with a rod of iron on this earth. Imagine no elections for 1,000 years. Another book that has incredible prophecies regarding this kingdom to come is in the book of Daniel. And again, just read the whole book of Daniel. But in chapter 2, verse 44, it says, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it," that kingdom, "shall stand forever." Of course, you know that King Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream of future world Gentile kingdoms. Daniel was given by God the gift to interpret what those kingdoms were. They're likened to metals in chapter 2. They're likened to beasts in chapter 7. And they represent the four Gentile kingdoms that will be in power on earth: Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. And the last kingdom that will be on earth will be a revived Roman Empire. It could be, it may be, the European Union, but it most definitely will be a revived Roman Empire. And Daniel speaks about an event that takes place at the end of the Great Tribulation period, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the stone made without hands, crushes these human kingdoms and sets up his kingdom upon the earth. A literal, physical, 1,000-year kingdom. So you're sitting here this morning and saying, okay, what does that have to do with me now? I'm glad you asked the question. Turn to Luke chapter 19 and Matthew chapter 25. And again, reading these entire chapters in context, within the context of the chapter, within the context of the book itself, within the context of all of Scripture. Luke 19 and Matthew chapter 25. Luke is the parable of the pounds. Matthew is the parable of the talents. So we're going to be going back and forth for a few minutes on these two chapters. Luke 19. First of all, verse 13, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come." And Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and 15, we read, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. I want you to notice that in both of those parables, we learned that we are, by God, given talents, abilities, and opportunities to serve him and to bring him glory. This is what is known in Scripture as stewardship. All that you and I have, all that we are, has been given to us from God. The gifts, the talents, the abilities, he gives each and every one of us a same 24-hour period every day. And we are all called to be wise stewards of those things, seeking by God's grace to invest all of our lives in the kingdom of God. Now notice with me in Luke chapter 19, verses 15 through 17. Notice something with me here. Luke 19, verses 15 through 17. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. In Matthew chapter 25, we read in verses 20 and 21. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want you to notice this morning, saints, that in both parables, those who invested their lives and God-given resources to serve the Lord and further his kingdom were rewarded with some sort of ability to rule over cities. Now, my dear brothers and sisters who differ in that interpretation of the literal 1,000-year kingdom would say to you and me this morning that these 2 parables are promises for eternity. Either way, the conclusion is the same for us here and now. What's that? What you and I do now counts forever. Either way, you get that? Either way, what you and I do now counts forever. There are rewards and blessings that await those who devote his or her life for the service of the Lord Jesus, both, I believe, on earth during the kingdom and in the eternal state. So what's the point this morning? What's the conclusion this morning? That you and I only get to invest in the future kingdom now. You don't get to invest in the future kingdom after you die. Now is the only time you and I are given to invest in this future kingdom. And God would admonish us this morning as a church family not to forfeit what is eternal for what is temporary. I believe with all of my heart that the Lord Jesus would say to the Koinonia Fellowship family this morning, use all of the time and all of the talents and all of the resources and all of the opportunities that I have given unto you for me and for my glory. He would say to you and me this morning, occupy till I come. He would say to you and I this morning, redeem the time. He would say to you and I this morning, set your affections on things above. He would say to you and I this morning, I am sure, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, one of the things that has so reignited in my heart this way of thinking is because in preparing to teach this to you guys, I have learned, and God has showed me from His Word, that what you and I do now does have a blessing awaiting us for the future. You see, we're all busy. Lives are as busy as they've ever been, probably more busy than it's ever been, okay? But I really believe that one of the reasons why many Christians tend to get so hung up on the here and now, why many Christians tend to pursue all the temporal comforts and perks of this present life, is because we rarely take the time to study about the kingdom age and meditate on what lies ahead for us as Christians if we would prioritize our time accordingly. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is saving the best wine for the kingdom. And how many people want to get it all now? The comforts, the toys, the perks. I love that quote from Jim Elliot. You probably have heard it. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. God has given to each and every one of us talents, abilities, and opportunities to serve Him and to bring Him glory. And when our lives put the things of God's kingdom first, there is a deep sense of gratification and purpose, because this is why we were created and this is why we've been redeemed. That's the unfortunate thing about those who interpret these promises of God for the here and now. And there are many promises of God that we benefit from, but the best is yet to come. Beloved, everything that you or I could ever imagine wanting lies ahead for us in the kingdom. That's one of the things the Lord spoke to my heart. Raymond, when you get into the kingdom, you are going to be so filled with joy as you put me first. Just think of your greatest dreams, your greatest desires. Everything that you and I could ever imagine lies ahead for those who consecrate their lives totally to the Lord and to His kingdom. Remember that Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes? Of course you do. That's the book that, in addition to the word that is the main theme, vanity, has another word that's not in there, bummer. And that's because this is the life of a man who had been raised with biblical principles by King David, and yet he thought, you know what? This, let's just contemporize it. This church thing is a bit boring. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to just seek for fun and fulfillment and read the whole book. Was it fun? Was it fulfilling? No. In fact, Solomon called his pursuit for life under the sun vanity, emptiness. He ends the book by saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.